Cecilia was shaking, her heart racing, and someone had hold of her hands. She knew, after a wild moment of panic, where she was and what had happened. Lorenza. Lorenza had poisoned her. And she knew why, or part of why. It made sense now. And she had to tell them, before Lorenza poisoned Ronnie and Berenice and Bunny's family and the Mahonies. And for that matter, Harris and the crew and the prince.
Cecilia, tell us. Try.
E-N-C-A-D-I-D-I-T.
They didn't have to ask her what. They understood that much.
The Crown Minister, sister? That Lorenza?
Yes.
Back to the new signal system. It was faster than spelling. Brunn put the keyboard into her hands.
Why?
What if Lorenza had an agent here? Panic shook her, but she had to try it. If she died, she had to save the others.
Prince, maid, stupid, drugs. King, nose, George, demo, Lorenza, gave, drug. Ronnie, noticed, told, me.
And you told the king. Ronnie said that. He didn't tell me about George. Oh, but I remember a joke about the term George almost flunked out of school. Was that it?
Bless your wits, yes.
Lorenza did it because you know. Because you told the king. And he must have told the Crown Minister who told her. And that means she might get the others. Ronnie!
Yes.
His family?
Yes.
More?
Yes, of course, you idiot!
When Cecilia finally could, she would give Carly an earful about what non-verbal people really wanted to say.
Right, let me think. Anyone Ronnie might have talked to, his family, me. Oh, maybe my family as well, and George! Of course, and George's father. Harris Serrano, she knew, but I don't know if anyone else knows that.
Yes,
the king would figure it out. He would have already told the Crown Minister. And didn't Brunn say something about Harris having a mission from the king? That apparent theft of the yacht?
So what do we do?
Go tell Ronnie. Go to Rock House. Warn them.
Me?
Yes, they'll listen to Brunn.
Be careful.
I'll leave now. I'll be careful, and I'll make sure no one else gets hurt.
With a quick hug, she was gone.
It's all very well to say I'll leave now, but I can hardly walk to the nearest spaceport carrying my clothes in a sack.
Brunn rummaged through her drawers, trying to think of 20 things at once. She needed her papers, her credit cubes, enough clothes.
How long would it take by commercial carriers? What are their schedules? Oh, why didn't I keep the yacht here?
That was easy. It had to go somewhere else and not be obvious about it. She didn't even know where it was.
I'll drive you to the port.
That was Drew, the groom who helped with the hippotherapy. She had ridden out with Drew, times she wasn't with Cecilia. She liked the tough, competent little woman.
I don't even know when things leave.
Here, the closest thing we have to a schedule.
A battered folder listing every ship that intended to arrive at the port for a year at a time, which meant not often.
Are you going to travel in that?
That being the shorts and pullover Brunn had put on as usual that morning. With a startled look at herself in the mirror, Brunn dove into the shower, then into something that wouldn't instantly trigger suspicions. She hoped. On the bumpy road out, Brunn quit trying to read the schedule and instead tried to remember all the things Captain Serrano had told her. Cautions, things to think of, too many. Drew drove the way Cecilia had ridden in the horse trials, flat out, attacking every obstacle, curves, corners, other traffic, with utter concentration.
Are there any traffic laws?
Drew had both legs extended and one arm hanging out of the window of the stable feed truck.
Yes, but not much enforcement. As long as I don't kill anybody, we shouldn't have any problems. The port's on our side of the city.
Brunn could just read the fine print of the schedule now. The truck only lurched occasionally. She had lost track of the date and had to ask Drew, who only knew it in local time. They had 13 32-day months, with names like Ock and Beer and Erg. For a moment, Brunn's mind drifted to the possible language of the first settlers, then she dragged it back to the important stuff. This was 14 Erg.
Damn! Nothing due for 2 days. I might as well have stayed at the stable.
Except that there's other stuff sometimes. You know, casual, unscheduled stuff. It's faster, I hear. Kareem got to the Warren trials in less than 8 days, while the shortest scheduled passenger time was 12. Of course, it's kind of rough, he said, but I figured you were in a hurry.
Brun nodded. She could always find a room at the port. She didn't remember much about it, actually, landing with Cecilia in the shuttle that one time. It had seemed small and bare, compared to the commercial ports she knew, but busier than the home port on Cerealis. She would just have to figure it out herself. That felt scary, but also exciting. It was more scary and less exciting 3 hours later, after Drew had dropped her off at the shabby little shuttle terminal. The status board there showed nothing up at the station but a bulk hauler headed for Romney, the wrong direction. Her schedule was out of date. The next scheduled passenger ship, also to Romney, wouldn't arrive for 4 days. Unscheduled was, of course, unscheduled. The shuttle, she realized, meant there was only one, was on its way up, and wouldn't be back until the next day. In the meantime, there was nowhere to sleep, because the people who ran the hostel were on vacation. Brun put her gear in a locker and wandered outside. The shuttle port was also the regional airport. That terminal lay across a half mile or so of paved runways and scrubby grass. She could see aircraft moving over there, and wondered if any other terminal would do better. Probably not. There was only one station aloft, and what mattered was its traffic. No wonder they hadn't been found yet.
Hey, you!
Brun turned to find the shuttleport clerk leaning out the door. He waved, and she strode back in.
You're that friend of Cecilia DeMarctus, aren't you?
Yes.
Where are you going?
She hadn't planned to tell anyone here and buy her ticket on the station.
Oh, back home for a bit. Rock House.
Got money?
Some.
Well, if you're in a hurry, a friend of hers, you know, is a friend of ours. Might be there's a fella could help you.
Tell me.
Private shuttle, over at eBay.
He pointed at a wall, beyond which was, presumably, eBay.
I'll tell him you're coming.
Which assumed she would. But otherwise, she'd just have to sleep on the floor waiting for the regular shuttle. Brun smiled her thanks, retrieved her duffel from the locker, and walked out again. eBay was neither bay nor hangar, but a large angled parking slot off the shuttle runway. On it was something that looked too small to be a shuttle. It looked, in fact, like one of the training planes Ronnie and George flew in the Royals. Its hatch was propped open, and someone stooped by it, tossing bundles inside. Brun walked closer, more uncertain the closer she got. The locals tended toward casual dress and behavior. But the young man in scuffed coveralls with shabby boots and a dirty scarf around his neck looked worse than Cecilia's grooms. He glanced up as she came nearer. He had bright black eyes and rumpled black hair.
You're that girl's been over at the ladies. You brought her, right?
Yes.
She better?
Much better.
She sent you?
The eyes had intelligence and some real concern for Cecilia. Brun wondered why.
Sort of, yes.
I'm going up. Then on to Kaskar, if that's any use.
Brun wasn't sure, and she'd left the schedule in the truck. Her helplessness must have showed.
Kaskar? 8 days? Gets you a bigger port? Should be something going through each way within a few days. Here most everything's going to Romney.
I noticed.
She couldn't help a doubtful look at the shuttle.
She's little, but she's stout. Get us there safely, if you don't mind it being a bit rough.
No, that's fine. How much?
Well, say, 800?
That was ridiculously low.
I hate to say that, but see, I can't afford the fuel myself. Not right now. I know it's for the lady, but...
No, that's fine. I thought it would be more. Look, why not around 1,000?
He wouldn't take more than the 800, and had her insert the cube herself.
That way you know I didn't cheat you. Now, they'll release the fuel.
In the end, she had to help him drag the fuel hoses over and start the pumps. The little ship held an astonishing load of fuel. Brun wondered if it would get off the ground once it started. Inside, she hardly had room to turn around.
You fly?
A little.
Her Rock House and Cerealis licenses would be no good here. Each world regulated its own pilots, since the differences in atmospheres, gravity, and weather made specific knowledge necessary.
Just sit there, then, and keep an eye out.
The co-pilot's seat, up in the needle nose of the shuttle, gave her a great view of the ground going past as they trundled along the runway. It seemed they had gone a mile or more, and she was wondering if they'd ever get airspeed, when the vibration of the gear died away and they were airborne. With a suddenness she did not expect from the long run, the young man tipped up the nose, did something to the controls, and the craft acted like a real shuttle, shoving her back in her seat for long minutes as the sky darkened from light blue to royal to midnight.
No traffic control?
Nah, not enough traffic.
The shuttle had minimal scans, minimal everything.
Do you really need to stop at the station? I'd just as soon go straight and over, save us a few hours.
Fine.
Brun looked out the little port to see stars beginning to show as they reached the fringes of atmosphere. She could hardly believe she was riding in something like this, with someone whose name she didn't even know yet, to go into deep space and spend 8 days. She was terrified. She was blissfully happy.
I'm Brun, by the way.
That seemed to have been right. He turned to grin at her and held out a calloused hand.
I'm Corey, Stefan Grinder's son. The lady helped my dad out a lot when he arrived. Just to let me set up the course here and get the autopilot locked in.
The Serrano Legacy, Sporting Chance, is continued on the next CD.